today's readings from Joshua 24, verses 1 to 14. It's titled The Covenant Renewed at Shechem. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I signed the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for our help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites, but I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord."
Good morning, everyone. A couple of weeks ago, Colin asked me, "Jake, have you got a verse yet?" And I straight up said to him, "No, I don't." But then, within a matter of moments, I had a sort of this thought coming back to my head saying, "Look, the book of Joshua. I was like, okay, let's have a look what's going on here then. And I opened up my Bible. I was still in bed at this point, and I opened up my Bible and had a look and found this verse. And I straight away messaged Colin saying, "Right, this is the verse that I want to speak about." Not really sure on what it was that God wanted me to speak about, but I went with it. When you look in verse 1 and 2, it mentions Abraham, one of the ancestors. Abraham is a great example of, you know, God choosing the unchoosable. If you look at the history of Abraham, he actually comes from a pagan family. And, you know, God, he looked at Abraham, was like, "I know that you may not be very Christian to start with, but, you know, I'm going to use you in any way that I can." You know, the way I see it is that God would much rather use a bumpy old country lane rather than a newly built highway, or a cracked pot over a brand new porcelain jug to put your flowers in. You know, I can definitely say in my life there have been plenty of bumpy country lanes. Hands up at the moment, who's currently feels like they're a bit on a country lane? Yeah, quite a few of you. So I would like for the rest of you, who didn't put your hands up, just turn to the people around you and just say, you know, you may be on a country lane, but God is going to use you for the greatness. Because something that I all want you to take home with you today is that, you know, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what it is that you're going through, no matter the hardships that you may be facing and how far away you may feel from God, is that actually he's going to use you. And it says in the Bible he will use you for greater things than Jesus. Just think about how amazing that is, that he will actually, that he said, you know, you will go on and do greater things than I. I think that's just one of the most amazing things ever. And then throughout this verse, it goes from verses 3 to 13, it's basically God speaking to Joshua, and it's just saying, here are all the things that I have done for you and your families over the years. It's a very brief discussion about the various different things he happened at Jericho and Egypt with Moses and things like that. And he's just going on and talking about all these things. I believe in the verse, he used the word I, or I did, or I bought 17 times. 17 times in that brief sort of discussion about that short period of history. If you think about it, how many times in your life can you say, God has done this, God has done that, he has been there through this situation and this and that. You can just, hundreds upon hundreds, even if you just think overall in history since the beginning of time, it's almost impossible to comprehend on how many times he has said something to you. I think that is just one of the amazing things about God, is that no matter what, God will always provide. We may not even ask for it. It says that, you know, he gave us the land which we did not ask for, but we lived on. He gave us food which we did not ask for. We did not grow, but we still consumed. He provided for us. We didn't even ask for it. We didn't ask for God for us to be here. We didn't ask for him to, you know, give us all this land in which we can sort of produce crops, animals. It's just always a blessing, you know, whenever you think about everything that you've got. It's always a blessing to know that, you know, you've got food, you've got land, you've got a house with a roof over your head, you've got all of these things, and yet it's just mind-boggling to think that, you know, you've got this almighty God who is in every situation that you're living in. He is there blessing you. It sort of links to Ephesians 1. There was a link that when I was planning this with Colin that we both sort of found this link together. And it says, Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms and every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in sight. Doesn't that just say to you how amazing God's grace is? You know, that he chose us before, you know, we were even around. I think that is just one of the most amazing things that we could ever face in our lives. Then you look at verse 14, and the one thing that was shouting out to me is just saying, make sure that you serve, make sure that you do things for God, not just because it's something that you've been told to do, not just because it's something that you've read in the Bible, you thought, yeah, okay, it says in the Bible, so I'm going to do it. Not just because your pastor or your preacher standing up at the front or your youth leader said, you need to be doing this to be a good Christian. It's not about that. It's about responding to God in a loving way. It's about responding to God and making sure that, you know, you've got the heart for God. It's not always about the actions. I always see it, it's more about the heart. As long as you live by a strong faith and you live with a heart for God and nothing else, you've made it to heaven without a doubt. A sort of an example of this in my life, for those of you who don't know, I'm a waiter at the Otter Inn in Colleton Raleigh. And for customers, I try and do the best I can, whether that's being very polite when giving them their food or taking their order. However, I do know one or two people, I'm not going to name names, for people who I work with, who are a little bit more quiet and won't say much and will throw their food at the table because they want the idea. On a Sunday, it's a little bit different, right? So we have a Sunday carvery and it's always ridiculously busy. The manager always has said, right, plan for Sundays, sit people down, get them food, get them out. I know. And I always thought, you know, as good as that is, you know, get more people in, I get that. But at the same time, you cannot lose touch with your sort of personal side. You've got to be professional about it. You've got to make sure that, you know, you're looking after your customers. And if I do a good enough job, I will get a tip, hopefully, if the people are nice. Now, to demonstrate my point, I would like to do something a little bit different. I would like to do a little bit of drama, if that's all right with you. I'm going to need a volunteer from someone in the audience, and I'm looking at someone right now. John, would you like to come up and join me up here? Take a seat.
Can I get some food?
I'm going to give you two scenarios, and I'll ask you some questions at the end of each scenario, and you'll see how things go. Okay. Imaginary pen, imaginary pad, Right, what can I get for you today, sir?
Roast beef Yorkshire pudding, please. No parsnips.
No parsnips. Anything else for you, sir? Can I get you anything else at all?
A glass of wine would be nice.
Any type of wine?
Drop of red.
Drop of red. Small, medium or large for that one, sir?
Small.
Small. Not a heavy drinker?
Sorry?
Not a heavy drinker, then?
No, I've got
loads. There's your food. There's your wine. Enjoy. As a napkin, enjoy. Now, out of that scenario, would John give me a tip? Now, if you look at, you know, your general sort of manners, it's always good to sort of leave a 10% tip, isn't it? That's about right, isn't it? 10% tip, that's what I'd be expecting from John, and if John had decent manners, that's what he would give me, hopefully. That isn't because it's what I deserve. It's not because he's doing it because he thinks, you know what, that person's done a good job, is it? Would you say that I would deserve a tip for that?
No.
No? No. All right, let's go for scenario number two. All right, let's get new pad, new pen, manners cap on. Let's go. Good afternoon, sir. Can I get you anything else at all?
Good afternoon. What's on the menu today?
So we have the carvery on at the moment. We have a selection of four meats. We have gammon, beef, lamb and turkey. You can have a choice of two.
Choice of two.
Ooh,
I'd like some beef and turkey, please.
Beef and turkey. Anything else with that at all?
With the vegetables, but no parsnips.
No parsnips.
I don't like parsnips.
You don't like parsnips. I'll make sure there are no parsnips. Go anywhere near your plate, sir. Can I get you a drink at all?
Yes, I'd have a glass of house red, please.
Glass of house red, small glass, absolutely, sir. There you are, and your wine. Can I get you anything else at all, sir?
Some horseradish sauce.
Some horseradish sauce, absolutely. Let me just grab this from top shelf. Just say when.
That's fine, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. For that scenario, are you likely to tip this person? John here is likely to give me a tip, not because it's just manners and because it's something that's, you know, should be done when someone is giving you a good service. It's because I hope that he would believe that it's the good thing to do. It's a loving response to good actions. In this verse, God is saying, you know, I destroyed all of these tribes. I'm not going to try and name them because I've tried. I have tried and I have failed. He has said, look, I have done all of this for your ancestors and even for you now. Yeah, John, please go take a seat. And he has said, you know, I will go and I have done all of this for you. The least you can do for me is show some sort of love, some sort of compassion for God. And I think the best way we can do that is by gathering here, all of us together, and praising God because He is most definitely, 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 definitely worth it. I think I could probably say definitely about 1,000 more times and it still wouldn't quite sort of mount up to the right amount for him. The way I see it, God is the almighty waiter. And he has served us numerous times. And as customers, I'm sure we will always go back for more. Later on in Joshua, just out in verse 19, there's a lot of sort of Joshua speaking to the different tribes, and he's going on and saying, you know, basically saying that you haven't responded in a loving way, you haven't done this, so you are not worthy of God's salvation. If you are told, you know, just try harder, do more, that's not good enough. If you are told that, how many of you are likely to respond in a way that's actually positive? Can I have a show of hands here? No? No, no one. Yeah, that's exactly how I would feel as well. How would you feel if you heard this? Feel free just to shout out. How would you feel if you were told to do more, try harder? It's not good enough. Put down, deflated, discouraged, all great words. Are you likely to give up if you're told that? Are you going to try and carry on? No, if it was me, I definitely wouldn't. I would just feel so, you know what, to a point where I have to sit down and I have to look at myself and like, you know what, I think it's about time I took my shoes off and I just, that's it. I'm not gonna carry on, because when people say, you know, that's not quite good enough, I think, you know, you can try harder than that. You've got to keep on, you've got to do something else than that, because that's rubbish. It's no good. Just scrap it, start again. And I'm told that, I mean, I've heard that quite a few times over the past couple of years, and it's always sort of made me think, you know, I'm not going to carry on with this. It's no point. What's the point if you're just continuously going to be told that you're not good enough? The great thing is that God will never do that. He will never say, you know what, that's not good enough. Scrap it, start again. He'll say, you know what, this is really good. I love the progress that is going on here. Could try this maybe, but what you've got here is amazing. And the great thing is that he loves us for what we do, and he knows what we're going to do anyway. So that doesn't even matter. We don't have to worry about doing something slightly wrong, because God knows. God knows exactly what is going to go on. And I think this past sort of month has been all about refreshment. I think there is nothing more refreshing than knowing that you cannot make a mistake under God, because he knows exactly what you're going to do. And he knows that, you know, you may, and he will know the things that we will see as doing something wrong. He will know if we've had bad thoughts about someone, if we've shared hateful comments. He will know exactly, way before we even have them, that that's going to happen. So no matter what happens, we cannot be a disappointment to God, because it says in the Bible that he loves us for who we are. That's just the most sort of refreshing thing. And you know what? I look at my life and I think, yeah, I haven't been a saint. I haven't been perfect. But to be honest, neither was Abraham when he first started out. God chose him, and he said that, you know, as I said, it came from a pagan family. It's not something that you'd usually associate with sort of religious sort of views, and who then God then used and went off and said, you know what, you're going to do great things for me. You're going to have children, and those children are going to do great things, and their children are going to do great things. And suddenly, here I am standing on the stage, hopefully as God would see us doing great things. I think discipleship is probably the best response to God's grace. And having us all here together under one roof, and then many roofs across the country and across the world, gathering together is probably the best response to God's grace. And, you know, the largest tip that we could give him who serves us in abundance is us gathering together and worshipping him, because it's what he deserves. When you respond in a loving way, you feel good about yourself as well. So if your friend got you a birthday card, you think, that's really great. I've got a friend who loves me. When it comes to their birthday and you don't give them a birthday card because you forgot, or you're busy with work, or you're busy with school, or whatever it is that you're doing, and you sit there and you kind of feel, I feel really awful about that, because you got me when I didn't put the effort in. You feel awful. Trust me, I've been there. And I'm sure many of you have as well. But when you respond and you think, you know what, I'm going to get them a birthday card. I remember my birthday was all that time ago. I'm going to get them a birthday card. Or even just a thank you card. Just say, you know what, I really appreciate what you're doing for me, being a supportive friend, getting me a birthday card, because you clearly want to show that you care. It's the best feeling, I think, knowing that you've done something to make someone else feel better because they've done something to make you feel good. It's a weird cycle, but it's a cycle that just makes you feel on top of the world. And with God, it's even better, because, you know, you could be at your lowest point in your life where you could be having really dark and depressing thoughts, or you could be having a really rough time at school or at work or in your everyday lives with health. And God can just quite literally reach into the bucket, take you out, and put you somewhere else. And it's the best feeling when you know that you can just shout out his name, saying, thank you, God, for what you have done for me. No matter who hears it. Trust me, there have been times in my house where I've just put on a Ren Collective CD or a Martin Smith CD, and I'll just sit there and I'll sing out those songs as loudly as I can, because you're not, I don't care what my family have to say. I don't care if they disagree with me, because at the end of the day, God is the one that I should be worshipping, and he's the one who makes me filled with such joy. I don't know, for those of you who sort of know some of the situations that have been going on in my life recently, I hope you can see a slightly different me today. I think I'm feeling a lot sort of happier myself. You know, it's because I'm being able to respond to God by doing this, and the fact that he is here to be able to speak through me. I'd like you to just take a minute to look at your own lives. Try and count the eyes. Try and count the amount of times God can say, I did that. I brought this to you. Just have a couple of minutes, think about it, and try and think of a rough number for the last, let's say, 5-10 years. Here we go. You may get some rather big numbers. And as you think, just, it's at that point where you realize, wow, our God is amazing. I can think of at least 20 in the week. Doesn't that just say how much he must have done in the 17 years that I've been on this planet? And the 2,000 since Jesus was walking on the earth? And the millions upon millions that this earth has been here? It's amazing to think about. This verse was something that I had no idea what God was trying to say to me to start with. When I first looked at it, I read through the book of Joshua. I was reading through months and months ago when I was asked to preach today. And yet it came back to me continuously. And it's now actually something that I'm starting to look at, and it's something that's encouraged me to sort of take God more into my life, because I know that, you know, as a waiter, if I'm doing so much, I kind of want a tip. More because I need the money than anything else, but and when you feel like you've done a good job and you don't sort of get that appreciation, it can be a little bit disheartening. It can be a little bit, so am I doing something wrong? Am I not doing something quite right? And I know that God doesn't feel like that, but you still get that sense of, you know, he deserves something back. So it's something that I'm actually taking into my life now, counting just day by day, count those eyes, count those, I brought this to you, I did this for you. Whenever you're feeling low and you can just say, you know what, God did this for me. I don't care what's going on in my life right now. You may be having the worst time possible with either grief or struggling with bullying at school or at work or anything like that. But you could say, you know what, God did this for me. What does he do for you guys, for those who don't follow? For those of you who don't have a belief in God, for those of you who think that he's not there, how would you explain me going through all of this stuff and yet here I am, still standing, ridiculously strong and full of life? And the answer is, God is amazing. And for those who don't believe, they soon will when they see the example that we all set. And I think that is the most, knowing that you can influence people's lives just through standing up. You don't even need to stand up here with a microphone and say what you want. You could just pass someone on the street and say, you know what, God loves you. Because it's true, God loves you. He loves you and you and you and you and everyone here, God loves. Not just here in this church, but across the entire world. Every human that ever was and ever will be. I'd just like to leave you these words from a song we're going to sing at the end, and once again, just try and reflect on those eyes. Where the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Keep those words with you today. Amen.